Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Get together. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we might sing for joy and be glad all of our days. And may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's our prayer, Lord. Yes, which means that word is to declare. The first yes was not. The second yes is a declaration, and that's why we do it. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Hebrews 4:16, Acts 1:8. And God is able, everybody say able,
able,
to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And then it says in Hebrews, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Father, that you have shouted life into us, and you have shouted your grace into the circumstances of our future. You shouted your presence, God, into today, and we acknowledge and we make ourselves available to whatever you desire to do, and we claim that together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Hallelujah. He is able to provide all grace. I want to talk about some more of that, but as you've seen, next week it's daylight savings time. And we weren't going to tell you. Maybe you could. This is the good one, right? Now you guys show up at 10 o'clock and be still my heart. But I let the cat out of the bag. The year 2016, grace and mercy. Said it. Bottom line is, I'm sure you're getting it. God needs you. We are to be the agents to turn this country around. 2 weeks coming up, a week, 10 days, how many? It's a very important time. I'm going to share some things perhaps next week, the Lord willing. We have seen so many changes going on in these past years that, you know, the moral compass of this nation. I mean, I'm watching the news and I'm saying, how in heaven's name, we're not being political, we're being stewards. For those listening online, we are stewards of this land. Stewards of the history that God has established this land. How many know that when you do things God's way, He blesses them? Right? When we walk away from God, what it does, He ties His hands. He can't. But He's looking for a people who will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I tell you something, this country needs, again, the presence of God. And I have joined with the pastors in this country and around the world, how many people are praying for us to establish a sense of an awareness that we're dealing with not a political issue, we're dealing with a spiritual issue. And when we, as my people, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, that's you, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Wicked ways means whatever way that you're not following the Lord. Sounds bad, wicked. But there's a lot of wickedness going on. No wickedness going on here. No, you're right. We got it. But there is in this nation. I will hear from heaven, it says. And do what? Heal their land. And Lord, we're claiming that this morning, that even in these next weeks, right now, that there would be order, that there would be truth, and that there would be a revelation of how this nation can be great again. It's not political. This is God stuff. So, we look at the essentials for your ministry, which is exactly what we're talking about. And we looked at the power of grace for ministry. We looked at, as you remember, the releasing or speaking of grace. Grace means the favor of the Lord. Grace is an underline. I say it, Bryson and I, when we're driving together to church, I name all the churches that I know of in the land. And we say, we pick out Calvary Chapel, grace, grace, grace. Church on the Hill, grace, grace, grace. We go through and we name all of them. We even pray for the Mormons. We pray for the Jehovah Witnesses, and we pray for the mosque. We pray for all of them. How many know that God loves people who do not know Him so much that He chose you to tell them about it? So when we release grace into it, then the Lord says, when you do that, you're going to get blessed. Pray for others so that you will be healed, it says. Speaking grace. We also began how to release the power of God through your life. Paul says this in Romans 8:1. I pray that you would come to understanding the incredible power that is available to those who believe and to believe. We talked about that. God, give me the ability to believe you. It is the same release of His mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Power to believe, as we looked at. Jesus said this. If you can believe, everything is possible for Him. If you can believe. If you believe, Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. There was no doubt in God's mind that He was going to answer prayer. Just like He says, my sheep hear my voice. There's no question. Pastor, I don't know how to hear God. Well, listen. I'll teach you how. God wants to speak to us more than we want to hear. I've said that over and over again. He's wanting to commune with us. And He says, if you believe, then whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive. And I said last week, how many people have received everything that they've asked for in prayer? Not very many. If not, not me either. But I want you to know, God knows it. He knows what He put on your heart to pray for. He hasn't forgotten. He knows exactly what you put on your list at the beginning of the year of what I want to see realized this year. He knows every bit of it. And in the fullness of time, His time, when you're ready to receive the answers to your prayer, then you will get it pressed down. No, filled up into your lap, in your basket, pressed down and overflowing. That's what it says in Scripture. God's not just going to answer our prayers because we always pray too little. Right? We never pray big enough. And God's teaching us, I want you to ask me for big things. I am, go figure, the creator of the universe. What do you need? That's the kind of relationship that the Lord wants. To never doubt for a moment. If you do, then you will. And just because you haven't received it, it's not because you're a bad person. It's not because God's angry at you. It's not because you don't have enough faith. It's because God says, I heard your prayer. It was from me, and I will answer it. And we are to go like faith. Live as if we've already received the answer. Well, that's pretty hard, Pastor. I know it is. In fact, it's impossible. Unless you're weird. Sticking your head in the sand. I'm coughing yourself silly. I'm healed. I feel good. I feel great. No, you're not. You're sick. Well, I want to make sure that I'm not saying anything negative. God doesn't want us to be weird, peculiar, but not weird. You're sick. Let's pray for God to answer. Well, if I claim that, does it mean I'm going to be sick? No, you're being realistic. If we don't have needs, how can God answer them? The right time, the right moment, and I've told you from my perspective, he's always late, right? Always late. There are a few times when I didn't even finish praying. You answered before Scripture says he'll answer us before we even speak. Now, are we just throwing out some kind of verbal massages here this morning? Is this something that Pastor, that's sort of woo-woo kind of stuff? How many know this is the stuff? This is what it's all about. This is how we are to live, with the expectancy that my God loves me, that he cares for me, that he has called me for a purpose. Do you mess up? How many people messed up last week? Some people didn't even let me get the whole question out. How many know that the Lord knew when you were going to mess up? How many know he knows you're going to mess up again? Right? How many know that in spite of us, God said something that's really cool. The word says, man looks on the outside, but God looks in the heart. He knows, even though you may be stuck on stupid, but he looks at your heart. And I know that with some of my grandkids, they want to please me, but they can't do it because they don't have the ability to. I'll tell you a whole bunch of stories, but we'd be here for a long time. And I know that they've done some things that they didn't want to do. I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't want to do this. I saw you sneak up to it while I wasn't looking. But I'm sorry, I didn't want. I understand. Now, what did we learn from it? I'll never do it again, Dad. I won't do it. And they get tears in their eyes. And that's okay. All right, it's all right. I didn't want you to get hurt or whatever. I'm doing this because I love you. And I'm sure sometimes, but I really wanted to play with that thing. But from my perspective, I know they're going to mess up again. I have a history from my boys. I know, but their hearts are right. And you look into their little hearts and you say, Dad, Gammon, Grandma, I don't even know. We're going to eventually, don't think we have to eventually come up with how many people have had your grandkids or whatever name you. That's what happened. Meemaw and Dad and Papaw and Mamaw and stuff like that. I said, I want to be known as Granddad. And so on one side of the family, we have a granddad. On the other one, our first one, who is Bryson, he called me Dad. So I've been Dad, and I'm Granddad, and I'm just happy that they're calling me. But I know, when I look at their hearts, they are loving, sweet, fantastic. You know, yours are too. It can be your children. But how much more does God love you, knowing that he created you for a purpose and a plan? Would he ever, Scripture says, he will withhold no good thing from us. And if we ever get to that point of understanding that, we would say, hallelujah, Lord, I will not fear. I will not worry. I will not be anxious for anything. Is it possible in yourself? No. But I told you, God created you to be needy, so that you cannot be self-sufficient. He made you to be dependent upon him. He wants it that way. He does not want you to be fulfilled within yourself. And you know, sometimes that's scary, isn't it? Because some of us are control freaks. And if everything is not, what happens if God says, be still and know that I am God? And we're left up with some weird abstract concept that I believe in my spirit man, but my head can't get wrapped around it all the time. Pastor, I can't help but being afraid. What happens if and what happens? I said, I understand that. But now what we do, and when I counsel, I drum it into, and I have in you too, that we are three-part beings. Spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and flesh, the body. The enemy shoots fiery darts, Scripture says. Their lies, their deceptions, their contradictions, their everything he possibly can to get into our heads. That's where he attacks us. He wants, if he control your mind, he's got you. Now, the soul, this is the way it's supposed to be, okay? Be a contortionist here. And all the people that I've counseled, this is, you know what I'm talking about. Say it again. Get it online. This is the way it's supposed to be. Spirit on top, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and then the body. This could be messed up if you want, but this is the way it's supposed to be, okay? I know a lot of physical freaks that got to go out there and not happy unless they're jogging somewhere, pushing the limits. That's good. No, they zone out, doesn't make any difference. This is the way it's supposed to. You know why? You know why? Because the only thing that can keep the spirit, the fiery dart from getting to you is by your spirit. The spirit protects you. The fiery dart cannot get through the spirit when you're lined up. This is the one that protects us. But if it's like this, the fiery dart will not be stopped. And it will go into your mind, and it will begin to affect everything, your body. I know people who have worried themselves sick, who've worried themselves into cancer, who've walked in fear all of their lives, emotionally just absolute invalids. Because they have left themselves unprotected. Now, as a Christian, as a non-Christian, the spirit is dead. If you're not, the only way that you get the spirit, the scripture says that outside of Christ, the spirit is dead. It's still in there, but it's not alive. When we accept Christ, then the spirit comes alive. Because the Holy Spirit and our spirit become one. You cannot defeat the enemy in your emotions, in your physical being. Only way you can defeat the powers of the enemy is when your spirit man says, wait a minute. Are you going to get tempted? Yeah. How many people have been tempted to fear? We all have. One of the greatest tools of the enemy. How many can, if we sat down and talked about, you would say, there is a legitimate, logical reason for me to fear. I know I have. A legitimate, logical feeling for me to fear. This thing is out of control, or this is liable to happen. And it's logical. So if that's where we leave it, you're ending up with a logical path to do something that is outside of God's will. Now, how do we deal with it? What we do is the spirit man says this. They're laying people off. He doesn't say this, but this is a scenario. They're laying people off at work. Everybody's getting their, pink cards? Blue, pink cards. I don't know. What am I going to do? What happens if I get laid off? We can't afford to go on. That's logical, isn't it? Yeah. But the spirit man says this. When the spirit, you just got a fiery dart. The spirit man, if he's under control, if he's up there, says, wait a minute here. God is my source. And Scripture says, he has not given me the spirit of fear. So therefore, I don't want anything that's not from God. So therefore, get out. Get the hell out of here. Or hell, get out of here. However you want to say it. But hell, get. It's from hell. And what it will do if you do not, it will begin to, it's like it begin to metastasize through your whole body. And your mind and sleeplessness and looking for ways out and all kinds of things. God says, I don't want you hurt like that. I don't want you damaged like that. I have given you authority over the powers of the enemy, and you can tell him, I will not allow my mind to go off on a tangent that's going to deny what God has said. Amen. Now that's the kind of thing, that's called spiritual warfare. I will not. And what happens is you turn on some worship music, go build something or whatever, and say, Lord, it's in your hands. I guarantee you, if God wants you there, nobody, everybody say nobody, can get you out of there. I don't care whether they're putting pink slips or whatever it might be. And if God wants you out of there, he will have a place for you to go. There's a learning time often, an expanding time often, to the next place to see if you could, if you'll really trust him. How many people had those wilderness times? In between time. I call it the meantime, in between times. But he says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And I don't want you. I want you just like I want my grandkids. I want them coming in as happy as can be. I want to do everything I possibly can to be able to keep them safe and whatever. I want them to have fun. I want them to learn. I want them to, I'm just, when they're happy, I'm happy. And when mama's happy, everybody's happy. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But she's always happy. So, if you look at that, my grandkids have taught me more about God than, I don't know what other thing I can say. But I've watched and I've learned and I understand that the scripture that says if you love them so much, that much, and you are, you know who you are, how much more do I love them, because I am who I am. And how much do I love you? Let me tell you something. You live your life that way, you will be a peculiar person. And you'll walk around in peace, which is the manifestation of the presence of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, because you're not allowed to worry. You're not allowed to fear. You're not allowed to be anxious for anything. God says, and not only will I tell you that, I'll help you to do it. Turn to somebody and say, I think this thing works. Let's try it. I love it when God interrupts. And in this process, believe, as I said, if you believe, get back up there. To place confidence in, to accept as truth, to have faith in, to depend upon, and to have have confidence in, which is different than to place confidence in. That's what believe. If you place confidence in your God, then everything that you ask will be granted to you. And if you're not sure it's from the Lord, ask him. But if there's stuff that you know this is right, I know in my knower, that God, this is a good prayer. This is something that you put in my heart to believe you for. We also saw the keys to releasing the power of God. Number one was to believe, and the other one was to declare. To move from saying and speaking to declaring. Number one, believe. You can't declare something that you don't believe in. But if you believe in it, then you'll move from just saying it, grace, grace, to shouting it. And what God was trying to show the Israelites, that it's not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. And even if you did have any bricks in your hand to throw at the wall, it would still have been leveled. All of this, my friends, is God, all of what you're doing, what you're going through, is God's desire in fashioning you and shaping you and molding you into what He created you to be, which is to live in fullness of joy, peace that surpasses all understanding, a sense of confidence that we can now start declaring things in His name. We've been looking at to declare, as I said, to announce, to proclaim, and to command. It's the reason why Lupe had mentioned this morning, can I use this Isaiah 58 about shouting? And I said, absolutely. That's the word in the Hebrew for declare. English, declare it. Declare it. Speak it. Speak it is as if it is. So, to command. And then we began the process of the power to believe and the power to release or declare. Now, I had mentioned we have some here that were not here in the last couple weeks or last week. There are areas, and you see them in your notes, that we went over each one of them. And I showed that there is a declaration that you are, that we can speak over it. And I'm just touch a few, just so you get, so we can get to the next part of what we're doing this morning. But when I, right now, I want you to know that I seek God in preparing the messages. Right? It's my job. I don't want to preach nothing, something that's not, that He can't anoint. And I spend a lot of time. That's my service. That's what I'm called to do. And when God tells me something to do and gives me a message, and I do it, declare it, what happens? It has the ability to be able to set you free, dislodge you, bring you back into order, bring into clarity, remove confusion from you, to build you up spiritually. And I have confidence because I've been doing it long enough to know that all I got to do is get you to listen. All I have to do is help you to come into a place of faith and say, yes, Pastor, this is for me. Then what kicks in is the result of the declaration. This is what I'm trying to do so that you can declare through your ministry to other people and other situations. Now, we looked at the power to believe and the power to release. Healing. If there's anyone that I go through that you need, lay hold of it and say, it's from me, Pastor, or say it to yourself. God, that's from me. Said Mark chapter 5, 36, chapter 5, verses 35. While Jesus was speaking, still speaking, some men came to, from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead. They said, my brother, why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue, don't be afraid, just believe. Now, I don't know who's online right now or who's in this room that needs healing or deliverance, but right now I'm going to declare what the Word of God says for you. And if you're not feeling well, if you're hearing online, if there's something that you need to touch in this area of healing, or we need to see a breakthrough, a miracle in your life, then I'm going to say this right now to you. In the name of Jesus, I declare that the spirit of infirmity is broken. I declare in the name of Jesus that whatever malady you're dealing with, I speak freedom to you right now, because the word of the Lord says, let them pray the prayer of faith, and they shall be healed. So I say to pneumonia, I say to arthritis, I say to cancer, I say to female problems. In the name of Jesus, I command your body to be released into the healing virtue of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Pastor, I can't pray like that. Well, yes, you can. Pray the way you want to. But God's word will not return void. And I guarantee you, that's the way this God, the way it is. And you know why I have confidence? Because he has to back it up. I'm not the healer. He is. He said, do it. I need a person in your job, in your family, to be able to release my power through your declaring. I can't go through all prayer close in connection with the Lord. We prayed about that to overcome unbelief. It's no longer the battle to overcome unbelief. That's a spirit. If we are told to believe, unbelief is the opposite. And I say to you who are having problems in faith right now, in the name of Jesus, I break that spirit of deception upon you and say that God's word is truth and everything else is a lie. And I say, rise up, man and woman of God. Let the Spirit of God stand up inside of you and say, hell no and heaven yes to whatever you're dealing with. Now, I could say this in a nice voice, but I like the way the enemy gets afraid when I know what I'm talking about. And same thing with you. I could say, be healed in Jesus' name. And that'd work too. But the Lord says we need to declare it. And I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Going through, we also looked at challenges of finances and barriers, strongholds to be broken. Lord, stop me on the strongholds. Strongholds in our life, according to scriptures, are something that's got a hold on us. Something that is keeping us from forward movement. Things within our minds sometimes. The battle for the mind. Areas within your life that you're having trouble through. Something that's got a hold of you that you can't seem to break through. Always seemingly coming up again, going back to it, whatever. We've all had those types of situations. But the Lord says that he has come to set the captive free. And that we are to speak sight to the blind, healing to those that are sick. And we are to set the captive free, the prisoner free. And if there's anything in your life right now that you're challenged with, whether it be fear, whether it be some kind of activity, whatever it might be, let me tell you something. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that spirit of whatever stronghold it might be would be broken, because God says that he does not want his children in bondage. Speaking to someone online right now, you have a spirit of pornography. In the name of Jesus, I command that spirit to be broken in your house, broken in your life. And your wife knows about it. That's a word of knowledge. Your wife knows about it, and it's harming her. So in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God to be able to set you free. And I say to you, go through your house and pray. Cast out that spirit. I bind everything that has bound the spirit of God's people. And if you say, Pastor, that's me, you don't have to say it to me. Just say it to God. That's me. I want to be free from this situation. Then either you believe it or we're wasting our time. We can go out and play in the rain. And that's all God needs. And there are some people that are on drugs. There are some people that are alcoholics. There are some people just trying to something easier or not as big. And God says, all I need you to do is agree with me. All I need you to do is say, Father, I need your help. Abba, Daddy, I need your help. And there are some things that cannot be broken unless God is allowed to get into the situation. I don't care what the doctors say. In Jesus' name, salvation, we talked about. You can listen to the first two messages where we prayed specifically the areas. Next. Everybody say next. That's my next button. I thought I was finished with just three parts. And the Lord said, and I started looking at other messages, what do you want me to talk, whatever. And he said, you're not finished with it. I said, okay, I'm not finished. He said, there's some other areas that I want you to pray over. That's extremely important. So I said, okay. The Lord said to add to our declarations. Then he said, part four. So the title of this message is part four. This one. Declaring the powers of the enemy defeated. Daily attacks, fear, worry, stress, and depression. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, therefore, which means agree with God. And it says, resist, which means you do not, you push back. In fact, you push him out of the way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. A lot of people think that you're dealing with physical problems that are the manifestations of the spiritual problem where the enemy come in. Sleeplessness, anxiety, fear. They become a rationale in your life. And God says that this is not to be a part of your lifestyle. And I want you to know that it gets easier, not harder. It gets easier, not harder. And please, just because I'm speaking, declaring, please not, do not for a moment. I'm not a prophet. Prophets, they just speak like this and they don't care what the result is. They hand it to the pastor to put the people back together again. Pastors are shepherds. But just like God, we want our people to walk in the victory that God has offered to us. And if the spirit of the enemy is binding you, is causing fear, causing these areas, they do not have power over you unless you agree with them. Just like God doesn't have power over you unless you agree with him. So instead of trying to rationalize or to try to convince yourself that this is the way that it is, you say, I am going to stand on what God says, because all he's on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And then you let him take care of it. And after a while, saying hell no, hell no, hell no, again, eventually the enemy says, I got to go bug somebody else. We ain't getting nowhere. When we lay hold of God, God gets bigger. And so often, you see me, it's like this. God, do you see this? Do you see this? This problem I'm dealing with? This area? Something that's bound me or whatever it is? God, you got to do something. And all of a sudden you come to the point where, all right, I'm going to try it. I'm gonna, what pastor said, or I believe it in my spirit. I'm going to do it for this thing. And you begin to say, Lord, I believe what you say. Right now it seems like it's overwhelming to me. But in the name of Jesus, I declare that your word is truth. And your everything else is a lie. And I thank you, Lord, that you are able to provide for me. And I can see deliverance happening into this. And I will no longer be bound to this particular problem again. And what happens, the next thing you know, God is up here and your problem's down here. God gets bigger. Whoever you feed gets bigger. Right? You feed God, He gets bigger. And that's the issue. When God says, in fact, where is the devil? Under our feet. We went over to Argentina. How do you say that? How do you say under my feet in Spanish? That's what I said. That's what we said. The devil is under our feet. Don't let him out. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of the enemy in your life. If you're not in peace in a situation, bring it to God. Let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your heart. Guard your peace. If there's worry, there's fear, and don't tell me you can't. Don't tell yourself you can't. Because God says, with me, you can do all things. And I'm speaking to someone or some people right now that have been around this mountain many times, and they think it's just a new verbiage for the same old stuff. I also say there's nothing new under the sun. But the anointing times and seasons get bigger and bigger. And I talked about that this whole year, that the enemy is coming in. And God's going to raise up that standard. So there is a new anointing. It's not the same as you're not the same person as you used to be. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I take that spirit in the name of Jesus that's causing me to be sad, to cause me to be hopeless, to cause me to be frustrated. In the name of Jesus, I command you, you do not have any input into my life. That's the way you talk. You can say it any way you want, but that's the skeletal thing. You hang your own stuff on it. It's that boldness. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Another one, breakthrough for health and protection for the future. Greatest manipulation of the enemy to worry about the future. The Lord says, you are not allowed to worry about the future. What part of not allowed don't you understand? Don't we understand? I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope. Call upon me. Why would we choose to worry when God says, here I am, choose me. L'chaim. Which means choose life. No one knows the future except God. Do you know that the devil does not know the future? All he can do is to lie about it to you. And that's what he does. God says one thing. I know the plans that I have. Devil says, oh, look at the economy. Look at the genetics. Look at the who's it's and what's it. Oh, man. Who would weather? I know some people that do. They, if you took worry away from them, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. Right? And some people don't want to stop worrying. I feel comfortable worrying. I look miserable, and I act miserable, and I make people miserable. But that's who I am. Don't go away mad, just go away. God says, the spirit of lies about infirmity is broken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear of getting sick or carrying on some kind of disease that has perpetuated down through your DNA is bound in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The emotional trauma that's been passed down because of your rearing in your family, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit and I cast it off of you in Jesus' name, and you are to be no longer entangled by the yoke of bondage. How many people hear what I'm saying? Please. I don't want to talk any louder. But I'll tell you something. when the devil knows that you know who you are, he has to respond. And husbands, taking authority over that situation in your family lives, and if you do not, if your husband is not walking with the Lord, then woman, you take authority. You take authority for your kids. You take authority, and God will honor it. In the name of Jesus, I place over you protection of the Lord. The Lord says, just like a hen takes her little chicklets. Chicklets? Oh, that's a gum. Chips. I never saw a chicken with a chicklet. But little, well, maybe they don't make them anymore. Under her arm, under her wing, hides it there and protects it. The Lord says that I am, that he is my fortress. David said, he's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Hold everything. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. And I declare God's protection over you in the name of Jesus Christ. That you walk not in fear. He knows the future. And he says, rejoice in it. Be of good cheer. Next one. Family blessings. Believe and declare, the Lord says, and you will be saved and your household will be saved. Save does not mean just save. It means healed. It means delivered. And what I'm going to do right now for you and your family, for your kids, for your grandkids, I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Declare God's blessing and God's provision for you. I want you to just close your eyes, put your hands in your lap, palms up. Father, I thank you that you have established the family as the foundational principle of society. You have defined it. You have defined the roles of the husband and the wife. You brought understanding to them. As we hear as the word is being spoken, and I declare right now blessings upon your family in the name of Jesus. I declare that future families in the name of Jesus and future children in the name of Jesus walk in the peace of the Lord. The confusion in your household, the situations in your household is bound in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I speak peace to it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, peace, health, wholeness, love, forgiveness, joy, and God's presence. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Got it? Jesus' name. Increase in faith. As God has given to each one the measure of faith. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works within us. In the name of Jesus, and we're almost finished. Right now, Scripture says that he has given you the measure of faith. What does that mean? It means he has given you all that is necessary for you to walk in the victory that he has for you this day, next week, and throughout your life. You will never be wanting in faith. All you got to do is allow him to download so you can offload. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that faith rise in your spirit, man. For whatever the situation that you're facing, whatever the deal that you're going on, whatever area of struggle, let faith begin to rise in your heart. Because God honors faith. Let faith begin to stir in your spirit, man. To believe, honey, let's believe God for this. Lord, we can get through this situation. Jesus, I have faith to believe you that you can change my company, that you can heal my body, that you can watch over my kids, that you can establish this relationship. I have faith in you, God. That declaration is what gets it out so that God can get it in. Don't say that your faith is weak. You can say, I'm not using it. But God has given you faith to be able to say, yes, God, and stand in the victory, waiting for that victory to come, not white-knuckling it and all those other kind of things. We're almost finished. For confidence and breakthrough in every area, I began part of the series a long time ago. This is the last one, by the way. And I go, whew, fine, it won't be hollering at us anymore. I began this, a portion of this message, the message that's been going on this year, is one of the greatest things that we can offer the Lord is confidence in Him. I believe You are who You say You are, God. I believe that even though I see the circumstances out there that look like they're overwhelming to me, I believe that You are greater than those situations. And God, You will release the provision for me, for us to be able to walk through and gain victory through the process. You start talking to yourself like that, all of a sudden, you're going to start believing this stuff. Get in front of the mirror and preach to yourself. And if you start to argue, tell it to shut up. Lord, I thank You that what You've put on our hearts to believe You for, and each one of our families, and also in this nation, God, we stand in agreement together that there will be breakthrough in this country, that we will see the glory of the Lord come, and God, You will be honored again. I declare that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with millions of pastors over this land and many millions and millions of Christians that are standing up and say, yes, God, we want God to bless America again. And if He can bless America, He can bless you. And we declare in the name of Jesus the breakthrough, Lord. No longer log jams. No longer being restricted or walking in just minimal faith, living in existence, punching cards and time cards and whatever, but a life that is vibrant. I have come that you may have life, and that life more abundant. Lord, I declare over your people abundant life, the joy of the Lord, the peace of Christ, and the victory. And every prayer that you've been praying, every area where it's been a resistance, I say right now, God says that we have the ability to speak to that mountain and blow it up. Whatever obstacle. Because greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. I think I lost weight on that one. These areas are so important, family. We recognize Jesus and Paul saying, I pray that you would come to understanding that the incredible power that is available for those to believe, who believe in the same release of the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. If anyone says, declares to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done. I can't see it any clearer than that. The Holy Spirit has now planted a seed within your spirit, man. And I'm saying, by you acknowledging it, by you agreeing with it, what you're doing is you're watering it. And then that seed is going to turn into fruit. And somebody's going to come up to you one day, and you're going to have this kumquat of peace hanging from you. And they're going to come up to you and say, you know, I've watched you. My gracious, nothing seems to bother you. It's just amazing. And you say, here, have this kumquat. Take a bite out of it. That's the fruit that we are to bear. And God will put you in the direct path of those people that He loves, that He's been training you for, and will enable you to bring the joy of the Lord in their life. That's our job. Should you decide to accept it, Mr. Phelps. How many acceptors this morning? Amen. Amen. Bow with me as we close. Father, thank you again. I pray that you would come to the understanding, the power that is available for those to believe. Lord, you've spoken this series, and we acknowledge what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. I pray that it's made real to each one, Lord. Because I feel the not desperation, but the longing in your heart to be able to show us that this is really real. And he does need us. Father, I speak your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that never leaves us, who will remind us, it says, of these words. That's his job. Now take a minute, half a minute, and just speak to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What an awesome God. All those who believe this stuff, I want you to stand with me. You just made a confession of faith. Do you know that? You just did something spiritual. So tomorrow morning when you get up or when you're at work, do the same thing. Do something spiritual when they tell you that who's it or what's it, whatever it might be. Say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. Try it. You'll like it. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Amen. Brooke, thank you, Lord. brother and my sister. I stand in agreement with them for the seeds that have been planted in their spirit, man, to know that you've gone before them this week and you know exactly how to orchestrate the revelation of your love to them and through them. We believe, Father, and we claim that together. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. I declare the joy of the Lord over you. I declare peace. I declare healing. I declare God's provision. I declare God's presence. And I declare God's the dynamic and what it means to walk in victory. I release that in the name of Jesus Christ upon each one here and those listening. And Father, I know that you're going to back it up. I pray, Father, and I know it, and I declare it. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And all God's established people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. And turn around, give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.